Hey, this is Chase Barber.
And I'm Jordan Willey.
We're two blue-collar boys doing some blue-collar interviews. Hey, guys, welcome to Blue Collar Interviews. Today we got on Quinn. Quinn, welcome to Blue Collar.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, right on. We're happy to have you. Why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
Well, I run my own business with my older brother, is what mostly my passion is. We work for wineries in California and do a lot of the installs of equipment and just random stuff. Basically, anything that makes us a buck is what we try to do.
Winery installs for equipment. Like you put in like the wine making equipment. Is that it?
Yeah. So I put in a bottling line. We do a lot of stainless welding. We basically do, we install tanks. We do everything from working on the small pumps to working on the $1 million bottling lines.
Okay. That's pretty neat. Quinn, actually, you're an avid listener of Blue Collar Interviews, correct?
Yeah, I have been listening since you guys have started. I'm always really entertained by all the stuff that you guys talk about on here. And it's definitely a big part of my day when you guys post a new podcast.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I was actually really excited to get you on because like we've had guys who, episode here, episode there, but like you said, you've really been listening to all of them, and it's kind of cool to have a guy on who knows all the conversations we've been through and such.
Yeah.
And also blue collar workers. So, do we ever come on at work, or do you keep work pretty?
Yeah, no. Think of the music. You guys spend a lot of time with me at work. My passion is basically, but I also right now I'm working as an industrial refrigeration tech. That's my, I guess my 9-to-5 job, even though it's like from 4 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
But so my brother and I, we work after hours.
Late. Oh wow!
At wineries. So.
So you're a pretty busy guy.
Yeah, just trying to make it.
Yeah, I get that. I have been working so much when I had two jobs there. Like I had to stop logging just to focus on like Edison because like I got tired of work until midnight and then getting up at like 3-4 a.m. to go haul logs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't help Jordan and Eric are up drinking in the kitchen keeping you up.
Oh yeah.
We got a verbal warning that we had to move to upstairs. tis good. So Quinn, you said you're a welder by trade. When did you get into welding?
So I went to welding right out of high school. I went to a trade school for about 2 years or about a year and a half or something like that. And I did it because I knew I could always make a dollar. Like it was an easy thing for me to go into. And then after I was in it for about a year, I got fired from my first job, which was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. It definitely changed my way of looking at the way I need to work. So I went back to school and actually got my heavy equipment license as well.
Heavy equipment license?
Yeah. It was like a certificate, I guess, to where I could. It was a proof that I can run heavy equipment down here. I don't know.
Okay.
Was...
Yeah. They, I do think they have that here. It's just not as common. I do think it, I do see a place for it for sure, but like they're just getting into schooling now. I think we have a 6-week program.
In Manitoba. It's been a thing for quite a while in like Alberta and BC.
I can see that. Yeah.
Like a lot of the oil and gas company, you know, what's stupid on the pipeline. Like remember it was a pipeline a few years back. My grandpa's been running excavator and that for like started with dozers in the 1940s. Like that's how long he has been running equipment for. Like, man, it was like a few years back, but the pipeline wanted a guy and he came out on site and they're like, okay, we just need to see your ticket for running equipment. And he's like, what? He's like, I don't have a ticket. They're like, oh, sorry, you can't work on the job site here without a ticket. And he's like, I've like literally like, 45, 50 years of experience running equipment. And they're like, well, you're not trained to run equipment. And they replaced him with like some kid that's like fresh out of school. And they're like, oh, well, you did a 2-week course. You're way more qualified than a guy with 50 years doing it.
I think they changed that. Like I think they went into competencies. Cause like when I was out, like I was about to go work for the oil field company before I went out to you. And it's all about competencies. Like, okay, you don't have any or equipment certificates, but we have to watch a supervisor has to watch you and then sign off on you. So it's just like a liability thing.
It's all paperwork.
It's all paperwork, and it's BS.
Yeah, that's basically what he told him, because he was semi-retired anyway. So it's like, oh, yeah, like we can go in and put you through a competency, and we'll evaluate your skills. And it's like, fuck off. I've been doing this for 45 years. I'm not, you don't want me, hire somebody else.
I do get some things and, like, working around pipe and all that. But there's some of that stuff with competencies. It's like, hey, hire a new guy. This is like, I'm working for a company in Merritt right now with, like, for the flood stuff. It's like, just this happened the other day. Hire a new guy. Bring him to the pit, throw him in a machine, everyone stand back, and if he can do the job, he can do the job, and if not, you can tell really quickly. Like, it doesn't take much. And if it doesn't work out, you send him home. That's I don't know. Is that too hard?
I guess
this makes it too complex for people.
Yeah, well, they don't want to hurt people's feelings these days.
Apparently. So what kind of equipment do you run then, Quinn?
I don't really run any anymore. I wish I could. I've kind of gotten away from it, but, I've ran dozers, excavators, motor graders, paddle wheels, scrapers. Like, I kind of did all of it. I really enjoyed it. The problem is my wife's always mad at me. It's definitely my passion to run equipment, but I don't like traveling that much. It's hard to find work around here.
Yeah, so how did you get into the winery from equipment then? Like, that's different.
Yeah, we got to let him get to that jump.
So I jumped jobs for years when I was younger, when I was 18, 19. I mean, I'm only 29 now, but I was looking for a job right out of the heavy equipment school, and I just walked into the winery. I just needed a job, and they hired me on the spot. And then I worked for that winery for 7 years. And then my brother and I, we opened our own business while I was there. So now we're doing the winery stuff. And
that's pretty awesome.
Very impressive then.
Yeah. Must have been doing good work then, clearly.
Yeah. No, it was nice to work for the winery, because then the wine industry knew me. They saw my work at the winery. They're like, oh, yeah, we're hiring these guys.
Okay, I'm a big wine guy. Give me some bottles. There are some companies you would work with that I might know.
I'm sure you have seen stuff from, like, Gallo or Constellation, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've been in those places. Do you guys ever deal with anything from Scotto?
Maybe.
Scotto Cellars. They're a small place. But they sell, I'm actually doing a job for them right now, but they sell freaking everywhere. Like, they're so big in New York and stuff like that. So I didn't know how far their reach goes.
I have to look out for them when I'm going for some next wine trip.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know how, I don't know what would actually be shipped up there. I know that the winery I worked for didn't do anything up in Canada. They were small time. I mean, they were big but small. It's kind of weird how they are.
Yeah.
Chase,
you got to get your mom and girlfriend on here. Like, they'll know. I don't think we missed the day that the wine wasn't getting broken out there.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're much more the wine drinkers than me. Like, wine is like, I don't mind a glass of wine, but like, I don't get the tastings. Like, I'm sorry, but I don't like going to wine tastings. It just seems overly like. Look at me, I'm tasting.
Yeah.
Oh, do I detect a peanutty gristly texture?
Yeah.
Oh
my God, I'm not a part of that. I just like the occasional bottle, because you can hammer one back, and then it's a good way to pre-drink. Just crack a bottle of wine.
Yeah, that's not bad, but like, all these people are like, oh, that's such a rich bosom, it's very full-breasted. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? Why does this wine have titties? What?
Oh, they're just making it up. Like, you could be a wine connoisseur. You just make stuff up. And I don't want anyone teasing me about drinking wine either. Like, I see no shame in just chugging a bottle of wine. If you do what Chase does, we can make fun of you. But if you're just chugging a bottle of wine, you're good.
Oh, I mean, like, I like to go to wine tastings with, like, some friends and all that. Like, Eric's a bit of a wine connoisseur, and I just like words during the wine tasting. That's what you got to do. And, like, when the person brings the wine over to you and they're like, this is this, this, take a sip, and you're like, just make up a word and be like, Oh, that's very vivacious.
Ooh. That's a real word.
Okay, well, just make up
a... It's very vejuvative, like something really random.
Yes, it's very vejuvative. Am I detecting a bit of honey pickle notes in there?
Okay, I really need to ask this for Quinn. Obviously, you've listened to the podcast and we get on tangents. Do you see how easily it happens now?
Oh, yeah. No, I believe me, when you guys do it, when you guys have most of the tangents on here, I'm like falling right along. It's like, yeah, I get this conversation.
Yeah, it always just starts going somewhere and it's like, oh, okay, we need to stop at some point.
I've always wondered, like, do people get annoyed with the tangents or they're like, get back to the interview. I need to figure out how to weld on wine shit. See, you guys talk about making up fucking words and making a fake app with Chang Dong.
Yeah. Oh, we got to get on that.
Oh, we got to make the Chang Dong app.
Sorry, we're cutting off, Quinn.
You guys are fine.
What did you think of the Chang Dong app? If you listened to that one?
I liked the idea of the Chang Dong app.
I was drinking with Chang this weekend, and he's a little mad that we don't have stickers for him yet.
I did think stickers would be pretty cool. That would be something that I would definitely.
I'd slap Chang Dong approved on stuff. That's hilarious.
Oh yeah.
The app itself, though.
I still think we pay some guy in India like $500 to make a one-off app. Like, here you go, $500, Rajesh.
I guess it's probably not that hard. That sounded racist, but Chase, everyone that's not racist, you can just pay people in India to do that, okay? Okay? No racism.
Oh, if the guy I hired in India to do a lot of the work was called Rajesh.
That's yeah, I know, name. I know. That's his name. It just came off so smoothly that people probably don't think you were telling the truth. Like, it's a real thing. Oh, Chase is just being racist.
I mean, you can literally hire him for like $4 an hour. I know that sounds terrible, but like, I'm sorry, but they do such good work and they don't charge a ton. Like, why would you not hire a guy out of India?
I'm not arguing this in any way. I think it's great. I was just letting people know.
But no, yeah, racism. We need to get on that. Get Rajesh or one of his buddies to make us a Chang Dong app so we can get that going and pay people to do stupid shit.
I'm invested. Quint, I don't want to get political, so we're going to avoid things, but I just, you're in California. I didn't even know that. What's things like going on over there? How are you? Are you okay?
Sucks. It sucks down here. It's, I mean, kind of like my hometown is a very small town. I actually don't even, it's not super small, but I would say that it's probably 30,000 people, I think, maybe less. Mm-hmm. But, we're kind of in a little Easter egg. So I'm in the valley, right? It's not that bad, but then you go the next town over and it's terrible. Like you can't go anywhere without the masks and all the, it's rough down here right now.
I've seen some things online. Like California is probably comparable to Canada. Because we're like that everywhere here, but it just seems like there's a lot of states that are still kind of like, we'll be fine.
So, yeah. I miss Poland. Poland, there was no mask. You didn't like here. You got to show your vaccine passport to go into a restaurant. Like Poland, there's nothing. No vaccine passport. Nobody wore masks. Nobody said anything.
Yeah, at the airport, they didn't even scan you at the airport, did they?
No, I walked up and he's like, oh, Canada. He's like, yeah, you're good to come in. Like, he didn't even care. He's like, just seeing the Canadian passport. He's like, yeah, you're good. You were like, don't you want to see my vaccine status? He's like, yeah, sure. You're good. To be fair, like, who goes all the way does not look up the rule and gets in. So, like, I guess. But, like,
yeah.
But once you go out in Poland, it everywhere has the signs that's like, mask mandate. You need to wear a mask. And nobody does it. It's just like a sign that's on a door that everyone... And I started doing that here. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just not going to wear my mask. And like for the last three, four weeks, like one person had an issue with it.
Yeah. And I was there and it was awkward.
It wasn't that awkward. He's like, you need to wear a mask. And I'm like, it was a video rental store. I'm like, you're a video rental store. Yeah,
thank me for being in here. Like there's no customers. I know that for a fact.
Like your only job is to give people their UPS packages. Yeah. He was the only other guy I've ever seen. Like if you go to a big city sometimes guys, no one's enforcing this mask mandate anymore. Like it's just a thing that's there. Like you can just stop wearing them and people don't care. Because, like, I am sorry, but people have given, oh, it's the Omicron variant. It's more contagious, but less severe side effects. They're like, okay, well, nobody cares now.
Well, like, oh, I think 4 people died from it. That's you know, 4 people out of the whole fucking world. Sorry, I shouldn't swear. But yeah, like, come on. It's everyone's getting it. It's bad. More than 4. I was just saying that because that was the early on stats. But it's just like, come on, guys. It's not dropping people like flies in any sense. But no. Whatever. No. Again, we can't get too political or Carl Wren's going to be having it out with me on TikTok. Quinn, how are you not in Texas yet, though? I thought for sure you'd be moving over there.
No, I mean, actually, I'd probably go farther north where it's colder. I like the cold. I like
really?
The snow. Nice. Yeah. I would much rather go north than I am not a fan of the heat.
Alaska is nice. I've been to Alaska.
Should go to Alaska. I don't know if I'll
go that far. I'd like to see it one day, but I don't know if I'd want to live there.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, we haven't talked about this yet, Chase. I don't think we've really got on it. I don't know if we should either. Why should we bring this shit up? Whatever, I'm going to do it. That trucker in Colorado? I don't know much about that, but that's like a big thing. I'm seeing that everywhere.
Oh, yeah, that one guy that – yeah, that was a fucked up story. Oh, yeah, the guy that
– yeah, Quinn, as a non-truck driver, I was going to ask you, what do you think of that, Quinn?
I'll tell people the story in case they don't know what's going on.
Okay.
What happened was is that, like, 3 years ago, a guy was going down a big hill. He overheated his brakes or lost his brakes going down the hill, slammed into some parked cars, and killed 5 people because, like, he lost his brakes. And it's really divided, like, the trucker community and other people. He got sentenced to 110 years in prison for that. That's where people are like, well, that's extreme. And everyone's like, well, you should have done a better job of trucking.
Hey, hold up. We'll all get into our opinions, but we're starting with the guest.
Yes.
That's well, you, Quinn.
I would say my thing about it is I know accidents happen, and I have driven truck before. I've driven the grape trucks and stuff like that before, and I know that it's hard to stop them. But I also don't think that it's fair that they're doing that to him when the average person around here, not the average person, but the average criminal around here, they kill each other all the time, and they only get put in for like 6 months half the time. So why are we going after this guy who's just trying to make a living?
Yeah, I especially in California, like I've seen a few cases where guys are getting let out after like manslaughter, like deliberate, and it's like, oh, okay, like, yeah, let him out.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. Like this, at the end of the day, like it was an accident. If you look at the entire background, this guy, was new to trucking. He had only been driving for 2 weeks, including like his training. They rushed him through like a 1 week company training. And then he starts out on the road. He messaged his company and he's like, oh, I think the brakes feel weird on this trailer. Like, I feel like there's something wrong with the brakes. And they told him, no, you just don't know what you're talking about. You're still too new. Go haul that load. And he's like, I don't know. And they're like, no, you need to go haul that load. Like, that's what we hired you for. So he's like, well, okay, I guess that's what I'm being told. Goes, drives the load, and then loses the brakes. Like, he was from an area with flat land, no mountains, no mountain experience. Told his company that his brakes kind of suck, and the company sent him out with no training and sent him anyways. And yet the company isn't in shit. It's this guy, get this poor guy. Like, I'm sorry, everyone is saying the thing. He could have taken the grass. He could have wiped out in the shoulder. Like, he could have done anything to avoid the cars. It's like, that's true. He could have. And he probably should face some consequences not doing that and risking his own life. But the thing is, when somebody is that new, that inexperienced, that they don't know what's going on, it is incredibly likely that some people just have the reaction to freeze. It's a human biological reaction, flight or fright. Some people just literally freeze up and can't do anything because they're so scared. And this guy's 110 years. He didn't intend to kill anybody. He froze up. He got scared.
Sorry. I thought you was wrapping up.
No, I can go on forever.
Okay, well, then it's my opinion time. No, I'm with you, but like everything now in the news, everything is one way or the other. It's either he's getting off scot-free or he's getting 110 years. It's like, hey, there is a middle ground where, like you said at the end there, he should have used the runaway lane. He should have went into the grass. There's a lot of things he could have done, and he should be held responsible for that in some sense. I don't think he should be getting 110 years. Like, he definitely should be getting something, but the company should be getting – they should be pulled. Like, they clearly forced him when he was uncomfortable. That text he sent right there should be your right to refuse dangerous work. And that's just not even really being talked about, because clearly he was uncomfortable. But also, if he's uncomfortable and he knows he's uncomfortable with it, he shouldn't be doing that. But I'm going back and forth between him and the company. Driving in the mountains. I remember when my dad was trucking when he was younger, even back then, they had limits on when you could go to the mountains. Like, you had to be 2 years into trucking. You couldn't be a new driver in the mountains. Now we got new drivers. These companies are putting them in where places they really shouldn't be going yet with no education. It should be way more on the company and less on the guy, but both people should be held responsible, like the guy and the company.
What makes it even worse is when you have these foreign drivers. Very foreign drivers that hold a 2-year permit, they are obligated to work for that company for 2 years. And if they get fired for whatever reason, they got to go back to India, Bangladesh, wherever they came from. That's it. You lost your chance at Canada. No more. You got to go back. So you have these people and they're like, I want to bring my family over. I want a better life for them. And the company's like, well, if you don't do that run, you might as well go back to India. If you're not going to work for us, get out of our country. And they're like, no, I'll do it. Even though they know they shouldn't be doing it, they're going to take the risk because they want to keep that job to bring their families over there, which it's fucked up. The temporary foreign worker program needs to end.
All that stuff is messed up because I kind of like going out to BC, like to go see you, go work on Edison. Like, I picked up a job and I'm very happy with it. Things are going well, but it's like, I'm there because it's convenient and it's working for me. So, like, if anything bad were to ever happen, I'll leave. I'll go elsewhere. Like, I can live like that. But people who are, like, needing that job or, like, needing to stay in that one place to work, like, people are pinned down by that. That's – I can't even imagine. Like, I don't know. Like, that would be terrible. Like, you and your family are relying on a job, so you have to do what you're told. Like, that's scary to me.
Like, you imagine – with New Week and these companies, they bill like, oh, that training you did was worth $10,000. If you quit or we fire you, you owe us the $10,000 back. So not only are you not going to have a job, you're going to have this big bill we're going to send you. We're not going to pay you for any of the wages in the last 2 weeks. Like, you either go or get out. And a lot of the problem is states where they hire these people, they're considered like right to work states or like employment. We've got employment protection in Canada for everyone, but in the States, a lot of these states, they can fire you at will for anything. Oh, you don't want to go to do the load? You want to refuse unsafe work? You're fired.
Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Ooh. Quinn, is there any tasks in the wineries you think are unsafe? Just kidding. You probably shouldn't answer that.
No. I mean, yeah, there's a lot, but we do it. Whatever pays the bills.
So what are these grape trucks? You said you've driven them before.
I mean, they're just a two axle truck with the grape bins on them, so it's just a doubles.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, they're nothing crazy.
Do you have your like class three, or how do you, or did you just drove them just cause?
I just drove them because the boss asked me if I could get it done.
Ah, okay. See
how she goes.
See how it works. Next thing you're in court for 110 years, jail for 110 years.
Yeah.
You know what I really. I really think the owner of that company should have fucking faced jail time. Like, he should be serving the 110. You brought in this worker, you knowingly undertrained the worker, and then I know it's just still pissing me off. Like, I'm getting worked up. But like, why isn't the owner of the company, the managers in charge, should be facing the jail time? They didn't even get shut down as a company. They're still allowed to stay in business and keep hiring people like this.
It's so tough again, because I do think the driver, there was a lot of things that could have been done. I know, like you said, he probably froze, but like, it's, you see that other case of that one driver who put his truck into a wall because he didn't want to hit traffic. Like, just, okay, I'm going to die, but no one else is. And it's like, hey, that's the other end and the other extreme. But you see that, and then on the news, you see the guy who ran into four vehicles because he didn't know what to do. And it's like, oh man, he could have thrown in the ditch. He could have hit the runaway lane. Like, there was things to do. So you do need to carry some of that burden. You took four lives. That's four people who aren't around anymore because you couldn't put it in there. So there's got to be something there for him, but most of it should be on the company. That's fine. I mean,
but what obligation do we legally put on people of you need to commit suicide in order to
I didn't say that. I'm just saying that was the other end of the extreme. But he could have just put it in the ditch. Like, there was no need for a suicide there. He had very safe options.
Yeah, relative options. It's, but I just, I really, really, the owners are the ones, like, I think the justice system, like, I'm coming from the belief that the justice system should be trying to prevent future crimes from occurring. Like, be a thing, like, not necessarily to punish people for making mistakes, but to correct behavior and ensure a more functioning society.
And like, yeah, who does this stop? It doesn't stop anyone, because the owners are going to keep doing it because they can see that they'll be fine in these. So I
this guy was never going to drive. If we gave him like a 3-year, 4-year prison sentence, you know, hey, you got to do 3 years in prison. It's not the end of your life, and like obviously a lifetime ban from driving anything. But this guy is never going to hop back in a truck. He's never going to blow the brake check. Like, they focused all of the punishment on the driver of the truck. Mm-hmm. And they're like, he was never going to drive a truck again in his life. I bet even if he was allowed to keep his license, he would never drive a truck. And yeah, he definitely wouldn't, like, oh, well, brakes aren't great, I'm going to head down the hill anyways. Like, it's not correcting the behavior for anyone, because the trucking company is still allowed to have that shitty practice. They're still in business. So, like, they focused on the wrong thing for preventing it. It really should. And if you're trying to send a message, what message are you sending to people? Like, there's somebody that's going to lose their brakes and be like, oh yeah, that one guy had in Colorado had a bad court case, I better do it. Now, it might make some drivers more leery, might make a few people check, but I really think they should hammer at the trucking company, the owners of the trucking company, and the managers that sent them out without brakes, and be like, hey, just so you know, if you don't train your employees properly, you can go to jail for lack of training.
Yeah, that's how it should
standards.
Be.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and the trucking companies right now, like, I'm sure there's guys who are listening who work for big trucking companies, and there's some shady stuff that go on with those large trucking companies. Like there definitely should be a crackdown on what's going on with them. And maybe there's that petition going out for this guy, and it's actually got a lot of traction. So maybe something is going to change and something's going to happen. I do hope it does go more in the company. And like you said, like that 3 to 5 years, like that's kind of what I was like feeling with, like, yeah, like he should face some consequences. I don't think we can, like, there was fault there on his end too. So just, I don't know how people make that decision, but I do think there should be some, but not nothing to the extreme of 110 years. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. That's
so, okay. That's our rant. That's our big rant. we gotta ask Quinn some questions.
Okay. Quinn, if you could take any job anywhere in the world, what job would you do?
Any job in the world. I would probably say, I would probably say that I'd like to work in one of the big strip mines.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's a neat, like,
I don't really know where it would be, but I know they're out there, but I love that kind of stuff. I just love the big equipment and that kind of stuff. And
yeah, so like if you're like wanting to run like a big shovel,
yeah, a big shovel, or even just being the mechanic for that kind of a place.
Okay, that's true. Those open mines are pretty awesome.
Yeah, they're massive.
I love how much material they move at once. That's what it is for me, like, because like I'm a smaller landscaper, even I go to bigger stuff, like there's days where I can dig for a day with my little mini hoe and I'll only move a few yards, and then these guys go in like one scoop, 60-70 yards. It's just crazy. Yeah.
Like, it never does it justice, and that's the problem with all these videos online. When you see like these massive excavators and they scoop it on a video, you can't tell the scale of that
in no way.
Like
Like,
oh, a 200 looks like about the same as like a big mining shovel when they dump their bucket. You're like, oh yeah, that's a little bucket. When you're standing next to those things, you're like, oh fuck.
Yeah, honestly. And like I know they don't have the really big cables out there, but the what was that one? What was her name? That big shovel. I don't know, it was a big drag line, but Big Muskie, I think that was the one that had a 220-yard bucket. Like 220-yard bucket. That's unfathomable. Like, that's so big. They put two Greyhound buses in the bucket. Oh, it's just crazy. That'd be so cool.
Big Brutus is the world's largest shovel.
Okay, what was Big Muskie? Sorry.
World's biggest mining. That's a shovel. That's a full-on shovel drag line. I'll enter that.
Big Muskie?
World's biggest is Joy Globals.
What? I don't know any of these names. Okay, what's really cool, I seen someone's TikTok. I should have marked it down, but they were showing that their operator, one of the big shovels, and they have like a doghouse in the machine. Like, it's so cool. Like, they have an office lunchroom in the machine. Like, that's how big these machines are. Like, you go out of the cab, you go down your little lunchroom, you got a bathroom area. Like, it had, oh, I thought that was so cool. All
right, I got the information on Big Muskie here.
There we go.
It was a coal mining drag line owned by Central Ohio Coal Company. It weighed 12,200 tons and was 22 stories tall. It operated from 1969 to 1991. The bucket capacity for each yard was 170 cubic meters of material, or 220 yards of gravel that it could dump. Each bucket of dirt weighed 300 tons. Every time it dumped a bucket, crazy. That's 300 tons.
Like, that's so crazy. Like, that's a that's a huge pile of material. Like, I didn't sell anywhere near that much material this summer. Like, that's insane. I probably did, actually. But
The height of it, when you're at the top of it, you're 220 feet in the air. The boom length is 310 feet. The entire machine length is 500 feet or 150 meters. That's literally like, holy shit. If you lined up six of these machines from tip to tip, seven of these machines from tip to tip, you've got a kilometer of machines with just seven.
That's, oh my gosh. Okay, good call, Quinn. Let's go mining.
Yeah, that's sound working on that. The cable diameter alone, just on the cables for the drag line, in which there is hundreds of them, are 5 inches.
5-inch cable, wow. And there's hundreds of cable. What?
That is huge.
Well, okay, I think they stopped with Big Muskie because they couldn't afford to keep fixing it because it was getting pretty old. And like, they have to, like, all parts are custom manufactured, obviously. And I think that's why they stopped using it, if I'm correct.
I can retirement and final fate. The APA scrutiny resulted in a rapid drop in demand for high sulfur coal under the Clean Air Act, which, and continued public opposition to strip mining in Ohio, made it unprofitable to operate the mine. The machine was so big that they just could not move it.
Ah, well, then I think Big Musk is the one that walked, right? And some still do.
It does. Yeah, it walks around. It has hydraulic feet that literally waddle itself around. But there was only one mine, open pit mine, in the world where Big Muskie would be suitable to operate. And that was at the Garzweiler mine in Germany. At the time said, no, we don't want that because they're using the bucket wheeled excavators that could remove more than twice the amount of Big Muskie per day with lower power and fuel consumption, making large drag lines obsolete.
Okay.
And then after 8 years of trying to sell it, what happened in 1999 was that the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency made that all surface mines do reclamation, which requires removing it. So when they're like, hey, this mine isn't operational anymore, you need to remove it.
Remove a hole in the ground?
Well, you just basically replant it, bring topsoil in.
That's a lot that they have to fill. I'm sure they just slope it around and stuff, but... I like that they say remove it. It's like you have to add to it, don't you?
To bring a lot of soil in.
It was sold for $700,000 just for the scrap steel.
Wow.
Should have bought Big Muskie. And that's 1990s prices. So what happened to the mine is it became a wildlife park called The Wilds, which was created from the 40 square kilometers, 10,000 acres, of land stripped by Big Muskie and later reclaimed. So it became, the coal mine became a wildlife park and sanctuary.
Ah, look at that. We're so destructive.
I mean, it all worked out real good in the end for the wildlife, I guess.
Yeah, I wonder if we, when we bury all these windmills, I wonder if we can reclaim that land eventually.
Yeah. Now, apparently, a lot of people are pissed about the sale of it because they believe that Big Muskie should have stood in the middle of the environmental park.
Oh my
where
gosh,
it's at is it could have been like a little homage in a museum to the park, the mine that existed, and said they sold it for scrap metal.
I that would have been a sweet museum. I'd go there. I don't.
Yeah, that would be something I would see, especially because they sink ships all the time to make coral reefs. So why wouldn't they just do the same thing?
Right.
I was about to say I wouldn't, like, I don't go to a lot of museums, but I love museums. Is there a museum in Merritt? Wow. Chase, let's go museuming.
Yeah, there's a museum in Merritt.
Museuming? Is that a word? Is that another made up word? When you're studying your wine? Oh, that's going to be a museum except.
Oh, it does.
You could just say it smells old.
Yeah. Oh, it's very museum-y.
Okay, so that's Quinn's dream job. I don't know. Any other questions for Quinn?
I don't know. We got off on another tangent about dragline facts.
We're so good at tangents.
You're like, hey, this is just going to be a simple, easy question. What's your dream job? 20 minutes later, talking about dragline specifications and 5-inch cable.
Well, it was a good answer. It was a good answer, Quinn.
It was a good answer. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, like, literally running one of those things, I don't know if it would actually be fun to run, though.
I think it'd be fun for a day.
Exactly. I thought that I was looking at craning for a while, and I thought being a tower crane operator would be the coolest thing. And then I was like, I bet you after 2 to 3 weeks, it goes downhill. I'd like to talk to a tower crane guy, but I think that would get old quick.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that goes really for any job.
Well, when you're bouncing, like when you're doing like even with trucking and stuff, at least you usually see something different. But when it's the same spot, like you're sitting in the exact same spot, it's, I don't know. Maybe I'm just overthinking it.
Like, there's got to be jobs that you're just like, why am I still doing this? Like, even though the job is amazing at first, like, I really wonder if there's like,
That's me waking up every day. Why am I still doing this? Just kidding.
Like, imagine even Ron Jeremy, just as a porn star. Like, every guy's Ron like, Jeremy. Well, just banging nothing but like 10 out of 10s all day. We're like, what do you do? I just get up and then I bang chicks with my massive dong. It is so exotic. Like, it was fun for the first few years, and now I'm like, another good looking girl. I guess I gotta go bang today. Like,
yeah. Poor Ron Jeremy. The landscaping thing for me, that's why I like do my own little company. I do like every job. I know I'm not that many years into it, but it's just every job's new, a different project. You got to solve problems. I do like it. So.
Well, yeah. And I think with the owning your own business thing, you're probably like me, and the passion behind it is what kind of keeps you going too. You make sure that you do a good job. And when you're done, you're like, that looks really good today.
Mm-hmm. And then, hey, on to the next one, and you have new problems to solve, new things to face. Even if it's almost the exact same thing, there's usually something that's going to change.
Oh, yeah.
So. There's something nice being said about owning your own business and that sense of accomplishment of like, hey, we did that.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask another question. I drank like 6 cups of coffee. I got to go take a leak. I'll be right back.
Okay, well, me and Quinn can just BS. Let me think. So you stainless weld. What else? Tell me things. How much welding can you do? Take me through your welding skills.
So all of my certifications, I guess, have lapsed because nothing that I do needs to be quote unquote certified, I guess. But I can do structural. I can do most pipe welding. I'm definitely not the best welder. I've got buddies that are way better than I am. That do basically more welding than I do. Like, I got guys that work for PG&E and stuff like that. They're probably a lot more versed. But I can do pretty much any of it. Like, I can figure it out. The stainless, the aluminum, the mild steel welding, pipe or structural.
Yeah. So do you guys like your company's after hours? So like you don't have to deal with a bunch of other people on the floor in the winery. Like you guys.
We come in after they close down. We talk to the owners during the day and stuff and get everything squared away. It definitely comes with its own challenges because like we can't go buy anything at night. All the places where you get it is all not there. So you got to really, we're always trying to get parts late.
Okay, I got one for you. Have you ever had an emergency winery, like a call, like they needed you ASAP and you had to go fix something in a winery?
Yeah, we get called a lot to a couple of the smaller guys that we've made really good relationships with to fix their chillers. And like a chiller for a winery is their heart. I mean, that if the chiller's out and they're middle of harvest and fermenting, if their wines go above 80, 90 degrees, it can turn bad really fast.
Okay. Okay. So you've had to do emergency call. It's, you got the beacon on the truck and you're just flying there. Top stops. Yeah. Like, no time. I got to go.
Yeah. It's a winery emergency.
Yeah. It's a major winery emergency. I have to go.
Yeah. There's definitely been some times where we get those phone calls.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet. Okay. I'm interested about the whole winery thing. I thought that was pretty neat. It's good to have you on, though.
Yeah, no, I was really surprised when you texted me and asked if I'd come on. I was like, oh, actually, I've kind of thought about that. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, you have lots of interesting stuff to provide. So I was like, hey, this guy could definitely make an interesting episode.
Yeah.
So before we end, I want to list off some facts here about what do you think the world's largest machine is?
It's that wheel shovel thing that like the wheels, the big wheel.
No, believe it or not, it is not the world's largest machine.
Well, Quinn's got to get guessed too.
Okay, sorry.
Is it the boat crane?
Oh, it's dead. Wait, is it a boat?
It is not a boat.
Or boat crane. Sorry. I was thinking just boat in general. Okay, you know, you're wrong, Chase.
I'm wrong. I mean, to be honest, though, I don't know how to put it in there, whether it counts as a machine or not, but it is the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland. It is a 27-kilometer long circle tunnel that smashes atoms together. That is deemed the world's biggest machine.
That's not you.
That doesn't count.
That doesn't okay. count. It's that big wheel excavator thing.
Yes, that is number two for.
Yeah, that's the machine. Biggest. Large. Don't try to mess with me in large.
This
machine.
It's actually at the coal mine in Germany that they're doing.
Where's the? I think it was on Transformers too. Where's the that big rock truck? Isn't the world's biggest rock truck in BC somewhere?
Yeah, it's over in Greenwood or Sparwood or whatever they're calling it for wood.
Are you gonna give us another machine question? You got any?
Oh, I just wanted to. The facts on the bucket wheel are absolutely insane. It weighs 13,500 tons. It's a quarter of a kilometer in length, not counting conveyor belts. Jesus, that thing is. It has.
Quinn, I don't know how many like refrigerators that is. I don't know why you guys measure with that stuff, but a bunch of refrigerators, maybe a few AR-15s long.
I couldn't tell you how many refrigerators that is.
And then the world's heaviest, largest equipment that doesn't meet their thing of it is the Bertha tunnel boring machine.
Oh yeah,
it's 73 million pounds.
What?
Wow,
that is wild. How bizarre! How bizarre! That's some big machines. I like big equipment. That's a good one. I just want to work with big machines.
Big machines are fun, but like the only problem is like I really like working with tiny equipment better. To be honest, like a little tiny, like you know, 80 Hitachi is way more fun than like a 350. I'm just gonna say it. Like the big machines are cool, but when you get bigger, it becomes less, like, it's more monotonous jobs that they're on. Yeah, they're slower. Like, you get into a little tiny excavator, you're doing these fun little nimble jobs. They're like a 150 size excavator, just perfect.
No, I'm not against that, but then you get a few hours in a seat in a big one, and it's quite enjoyable, but I would agree you have more fun with the smaller machines.
Yeah, I definitely like the smaller machines, too. The biggest excavator I've ran was a 350 Cat, and I mean it was brand new, it was really nice, but the job that we were doing with it was super boring.
Yeah, that's why I listen to podcasts and audiobooks all day. I wasn't even hiding it anymore too, like the big wigs came up in their truck, like three white hats came up and I was just like, hey, how's it going? I had my AirPods in, like, you're not supposed to have that. And I was like, ah, whatever, they'll be fine. What are they gonna do, kick me off the job site? They need me.
Well, like, who doesn't let their operators listen to music or podcasts? Like, that would be a super boring job.
You can't listen to headphones, but that makes no sense to me. And people, I've had people try arguing me on this. It's like, no, you're allowed to listen to the radio full blast, but I can't put in one AirPod still listening to the machine. So everyone's like, oh, I need to hear my motor. First off, I know you. You're too dumb to hear your motor. I've had that argument from a lot of guys, but I can hear if anything starts going, I'll hear. Trust me, I'll see smoke too. I'll be fine. But I can hear people around me. Yeah, you should feel it. I know my machine. No, you don't. If someone's honking their horn or around me, I'm going to be able to hear them. Also, if you're coming near an operator, anyone on job site knows this, you make eye contact with that operator first. You don't pull up right behind him and then try to go and talk to him. You have to get his eyes. He has to know where you are before you approach him.
What? No, that's what I like to do is go up to the buncher, and instead of like making eye contact or approach, I just yell, "Hey, Jordan, how's it going?" as I'm walking in behind
it. Yeah, no. You say it like it's a joke, but people do it.
Well, the same rule, like where they make the headset rules, they just make blanket rules, like, you know, that shouldn't have to be, because I guarantee you, the one AirPod does not cause a problem. Have one AirPod in, you're listening to that, no problem whatsoever. Problem is that there was had to have been at some point a bunch of idiots that had like noise canceling headphones with the volume cranked right to the max.
Exactly. I'm sure that's what happened. They're like, "All right, no headphones on site." And it's like, that's not the same thing. We can make particular rules, like no large noise canceling headphones. I can see that and agree with it.
The thing is, at these big companies, I guarantee you the safety manager has dealt with so many stupid incidents with people where he just literally like flips the table. And he's like, "That's it. No more headphones. These guys are too fucking stupid to use them. I'm going to make a blanket rule instead of like."
We lost you there for a minute.
Sorry, somebody called my phone. I guess it cut out. People are dumb.
Yeah, people are dumb. Okay, we'll probably wrap things up right away, but I did want to say this isn't a Quinn-related thing, but me and Chase, I don't know if I'm speaking for you, but I'm going to speak anyway because I'm the editor. I'm shutting down for Christmas, so we probably won't post anything for a few weeks now. We'll try to record a few throughout the break, but I don't know how much we'll be posting. I'd like to have a few pre-logged for the new year. So we'll probably be on a break for a few weeks. It's the holidays. Go see your families. Don't listen to us idiots. That's about it for me, Chase. How about you?
No, that sounds good.
Yeah. Quinn, thanks for coming on. That was awesome. Hope you have a good rest of your day.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I appreciate it coming on. I definitely was pretty excited about it.
Yeah, no, awesome to have you. Any social medias the guys could follow you at? TikTok, Instagram?
Instagram, there's not really a whole lot on there, though.
Ah, well then, if you don't need it, if they don't need it, they don't need it. It's up to you.
There's nothing. I don't really post that much. I tried doing a whole bunch of TikToks and stuff, and I always forget to do it when I'm doing something that'd be interesting. And that's kind of my problem. And also, we're always lurking late at night, and the wives always say, "You need to come home and see your kids." And
yeah, they're saying that, and then you post a TikTok. It looks bad.
Yeah. Then they're like, "You're not actually working."
Yeah, for the 2 minutes it takes to make the TikTok.
Yeah, they always get after.
You see so many people that get pissed off at people making TikToks. "Well, they should be working. Why am I..." Like, especially like cops or anything like that, and they're like, they post like a 2 second TikTok, and they're like, "Why are my tax dollars making people like on TikTok?" You're like, "Man, he took 30 seconds out of his day to make a TikTok."
Yeah, I know you waste more time at work. Trust me, I don't care who you are. I know you're wasting time on your phone. Trust me. Yeah.
Is there anybody that doesn't waste time at work then like is 100% effective the whole time? Like, I'm sorry, yeah. I don't want a cop like that. I don't want a cop that's so focused on being, he's like, "I can't rest for 30 seconds. There's crime out there, and I'm going to find those fuckers." Like, shut up. It's a traffic cop making TikToks. Let's shut the fuck up about him, because what you want him to do, ticket more people? He's on TikTok. He's not doing anything. It's the same argument I make for Justin Trudeau when everyone's like, "Oh, Justin Trudeau, he's always on Instagram. He's on taking selfies, and he's on his phone, and he's playing it up for like, he's just networking with people." Shut up, because the time that Justin Trudeau spends on his phone, he can't be fucking up the country. If you don't like him, shut up about that part.
Yeah, let him stay on his phone. But the worst for me is older construction guys, because they'll always be like, "Back in my day, blah, blah, blah." Always talk about how they weren't on their phone or weren't wasting time. And it's like, hey, I've also seen you exact guys watching the supervisor at the end of coffee break. And then right before he's about to do his little stand up, you ask him some big question so we can sit for another 5 minutes while he explains it. And it's like, you guys waste time too. Take it easy.
Oh, and the old timers like that are the ones who are all smoking. Like, you guys all took so many goddamn smoke breaks today. Like, oh, you know, you're 2-pack today and you take 5 minutes per smoke. All of a sudden, you've spent an hour of your day smoking, but you're like, that kid's always on his phone there.
He was on his phone for 2 minutes there. And you're like the conversation about him being on his phone is you and 3 cigarettes. Like, come on, man.
Like, I really, really think that if you're going to let people have smoke breaks, you should let people have cell phone breaks. Same
basic principle. Things are going now, people are that addicted that I could see it. It's a personal life choice.
Well, it's not even addicted. Sometimes, you know what? People just work better if they can take 5 minutes away from work, go do something that they enjoy, relax, and then come back to work. That's much more productive in the time that they spend. Like, the next half hour, 45 minutes of work you're getting out of them is, like, twice as productive as somebody that sits there monotonously typing or monotonously doing his work all day. Just take a break. Come back with a fresh mind. Or you'll be more productive.
When you do have guys doing work that could get dangerous, they're sneaking their little texts in there. And it's like, how about we maybe just let them have their little break instead of trying to sneak in while they're working and then lose fingers?
Exactly.
But okay, we're shutting this down.
Okay, sorry.
I got other things to do today.
Thanks for coming on. Get back to work. Thank you guys
very much. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Quinn.
Yeah, and let me know about that investment stuff. I'm definitely down to get in. I was bummed that I missed out the first round.
Well, we'll get you in early on the second round. Chase, do you want to say anything about Edison?
For as far as anyone worried about like the investors, we're gonna be opening a second round, but the crowdfunding thing gets capped, and we're like, well, we're at kind of the maximum of that right now. Like, there's only few hundred spots left out of the 2,000 we were originally allotted, but there is more rules, and if we follow the more rules, we'll be allowed to have more. But like, we need more of a disclosure of like risk. Like, I assume that everyone knows, like, if you're starting in investing in a startup company, it's gonna be risky, but like, we've got to meet the legal requirements and be like, hey, this is a risky investment.
Yeah, we thought you knew this was risky, but now we have to give you something on paper that says, hey, this is risky.
Which means that like, everybody that ordered them, like, hey, it's gonna be an extra week or two for anybody that ordered the stocks or the hats. I just have to draw up like a prospectus that you need to sign. Or, well, I'm gonna say you need to sign it. I won't actually know. You don't gotta send it back, but you gotta have a perspective of risk assessment. And then you'll have the option to be like, no, I don't want it, and send it back to me and be like, nope, I'm not interested in this. I don't want to take that with my $50.
Yeah. Now, on the other side of that, if anyone has that, feel fine to send it back. We have people who are going to buy it because, yeah, we have to legally say there's a risk, but things are going very well. So
things are going well, but there is still a risk. You never know what happens, and we have to follow the government rules. Like, for the first few thousand people that invest, the government's like, yeah, you guys are small, tiny things. Like, you guys can do what you know, up to a certain level, you can do what you'd like. And after that, which is a fair rule, you know, you have to have all your accounting books and you have to put out your prospectus and your financial statements so that people can analyze your company because you're hitting a wider market. So it's just going to take, after the holidays, I'll get all that sorted. Everything will get sent off. We'll be able to open round two of investment, but
mm-hmm. We'll get there. Okay, awesome. Thanks for coming on, Quinn. Awesome. Talk to you later, Chase. We're ending it here.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Bye.